Blog Talk Radio.
And transforming your life. I'm having some major technology problems this morning. I tried to connect to the show through my normal way, which is to use my Skype, and it's still not connecting. It's been loading for quite some time now, and I can't quit it, the program either, because I thought, well, let me quit it, and then I'll just reconnect. Well, that didn't work. So then I attempted to feature where you can directly connect into the show through your computer, through Blog Talk, and as a premium host, I have that option to do that. So I said, well, let me do direct connect. Well, that didn't work either. So I am on my phone, which is not the optimal way to be doing the radio show because other people can call and text in to my phone who have nothing to do with the show. So if you hear any beeping or chimes or anything like that, know that I'm trying to call into my phone, and we're just going to ignore that. So Mercury is full on in retrograde with this phone stuff going on for me here today. And it just gives us more content to talk about on the show today, right? Because how is this like your life? What do you do? How do you handle things when they come up in your life as they do and will? Do you look for other options, other ways to get things done, to complete the task that you have at hand that you want to complete? Or do you just forget about it and be disappointed, maybe it's something that you really wanted to do or have or something like that, but you don't see any other possibility? Well, the world is full of possibility. There's always another option. It's important to look at other options. I don't want to say that you have to exhaust all other options before quitting, because sometimes that's not the right thing for you either. But if you just explore one option and it doesn't work, and you throw your hands up and say, well, it's not meant to be, and some of us may do that, well, if the universe had it for me, then it would have worked out. And not look at other possibilities or other options to how to make this event or this thing in your life that you want to happen. Like me, getting on the radio today. Though I was a minute and a half late signing in, here I am. And I had to try different options to be here with you today. And I could have just said, oh, well, I'll post a message saying that I couldn't get on, I was having trouble with the server, whatever. But I have made a commitment to this 30-day challenge. And as a charismatic leader, commitment is a big deal, because it's hard for us to stay committed to things for long periods of time, especially if it is somehow messing up our fun, messing up our game plan, you know? And particularly charismatic leaders, which is my profile, if you look at Reese Thomas's work, Discover Your Life's Purpose, which is really about who you are at the core as an individual through your profile. So I am a charismatic leader, primary profile, with a team player, secondary. So fortunately for all of you guys, I have that team player, secondary, because I'm able to do things like be on the radio without possibly any win in it for me immediately and still stick with it. If I did not have that team player, secondary profile, being a charismatic leader primary, I would not be able to stick with something like this, not seeing results that I want or interaction, immediate satisfaction, in other words. So if you want to really get into your life and figure out who the heck you are and what your primary profile is, get the book, Discover Your Life's Purpose by Reese Thomas. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It definitely changed my life and changed also how I relate to people and how I can able to communicate with people on a different level now. Looking for my radio notes. Here we go. Oh, I can't believe this Mercury retrograde is still got its throng so deep into electronics and what the heck is going on, you know, with communication and everything. So we have 4 more days of this to go, and then there's always a couple of days afterwards where the energy is still affecting us. And it's really, really interesting that this week, and I've been looking at a lot of different intuitive
astrologers work, psychics, and they're all pretty, numerologists. So they're all saying pretty much the same thing for this week and the month of January, really, that we are in a big nine energy right now. And in numerology, nine is all about things coming to an end, a finishing. And then, of course, you know, after nine, there's always the one, and the one is new beginnings. So this year is a nine year, so expect that there are going to be things that are coming to an end in your life, because that's the overall energy of this year. Knowing, however, that next year is a 1 year, and then it's all about new beginnings. Now, of course, whatever your particular personal number is in numerology, the 9 year will affect you slightly differently, but it's the overall energy vibration of the planet this year. So there will be endings in your some endings in your life and things coming to a close, which can be a positive thing. You know, sometimes it's not always what you want or it seems that pleasant, but there are a lot of things coming to an end that can be very positive. And so just keep that in mind, knowing that this year is programmed to do that. And also particularly this month, I was just reading a colleague of mine astrology for this week, let's see if I can pull it up here. Let's see if I can pull up Michael. So this is Michael Udria, and he does fabulous astrological reading charts if you're interested. And then I also have another very, very good friend and superb astrologer, and that she is Kathy Pagano. And you can find both of them on Facebook. So Michael is M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and Boudria, his last name, B-O-U-D-R-I-A. And then Kathy is C-A-T-H-Y-P-A-G, hold on, Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O, right. I had to see it filled in my mind's eye. And So Kathy and Michael, they're really phenomenal astrologers. So Michael posted, I still can't find it, I'm on his page, but anyway, he posted a very sort of lengthy article this morning about what's going on with the planets this week. And there's a lot of activity and there's a lot of retrograde things and T-squares and all sorts of things like that going on. And I know a little bit about astrology, but not enough to be, any expert or, I would consider myself a complete and total novice. So I rely on, my colleagues who are phenomenal astrologers. So Michael basically says that this week is a week of ending as well. And then, because when you add up all the numbers of things that are going on, it's a nine energy. And then when Colette Baron-Reed did her weekly forecast this week, again, the same energy about letting go of things. So what are you letting go in your life? Sometimes it can be as easy as cleaning your house. You need to let go of physical stuff, because maybe you have, too much clutter in your home. And that may be something for you that you want to work on. And if that is your thing or your mission this week or this month of how to, having to let go of clutter, physical things in your life, then I teach my clients and friends and colleagues this really simple method that helps, because sometimes it's very difficult for us to decide what to let go of. especially if it's something sentimental that someone has given you or things like that. I know I talked about this in the last couple of days with the story about Sonia Chiquet and her picture, the painting that was a Salvador Dali that her sister had given her as a wedding present. And so we know when, you know, if you listen to the show, and if you didn't, I'll just recap briefly. She hated the painting, and it migrated to different rooms in the house and could not warm up to this painting and ended up in a closet. And finally she said, you know, I really hate this painting. I'm going to sell it at a yard sale. And she had a yard sale and sold the original Salvador Dali painting for $5. And she knew it was worth a lot of money, but she felt that she wanted to gift to whoever was buying it, who would love it, this painting, sort of as a gifting, tithing to the universe. And she was really worried about what she was going to tell her sister about the painting. And she decided to tell her the truth. The funniest part is her sister gave her the painting because she hated it. Because somebody had given it to her. So if you're trying to get rid of stuff and you're holding on to it because, oh, what will my sister think if she comes in and the bowl that she gave me is not there? Or what will, you know, my mother, brother, whoever think when they come in and they see that the item that they gave me is no longer here? Just be honest with them. Tell them the truth. You can, if you feel that it's the right thing, you could offer it back to them, or you could just give it away to someone else or sell it and then get something you really love with the money. That's an easy way in your mind to develop the idea that it's okay to let go of things that people have given to you if you don't love it or use it. And it's really a healthy thing to do. So if you'd like to call into the show today, the guest call-in number is 657-383-0612. Again, that number is 657-383-0612. And I noticed that I've been listing the show under self-help. And I'm just wondering if people are finding me under that category, because I've been listed under spirituality actually more than 2 years. It's interesting, when I was looking at my Blog Talk information and when I first came on air, it was in 2010. Oh my goodness, that was 6 years ago. I really can't believe that. But, you know, back in those days, I wasn't really consistent. I wasn't on every week. I'd come on, you know, once a month, sometimes a little bit less. And then I'd be on once a month, and then I would disappear for a while. And because I hadn't found my voice yet, I had gotten into so much trouble as a kid growing up for talking in class all the time, because I would, like, do my work, and then I'd be helping my classmates. Or I would just be, somebody would ask me a question, and I would answer the question, and I'd get in trouble for that sort of thing. And it's funny because I even got in trouble at school 2 weeks ago for talking. And it continues. So I have trouble finding my voice because I've always been told to shut up or be quiet or, you know, you're talking too much. And even I worked for the government for 26 years, and I was in trouble all the time for talking to customers. How crazy is that? And as it turns out, I have my physical life's purpose is a bartender who, what do bartenders do? They listen and they talk, right? They're counselors, really. And so now that I have come to learn about my bartender being my physical life purpose, and I totally am embracing that. And, you know, a bartender doesn't mean that you need to be behind a bar, tending bar, but if you think about the archetype of a bartender, I totally that archetype. And so I think it's pretty cool. And
on top of that, I ate bar when I was 15 on Saturdays, in the Sunday morning, sorry, from 9 to 12 for the length of time that I worked at the inn, which was for, I don't know, maybe a year and a half before they closed. Then they closed and I went to another of their facilities. But anyway, so at 15, I was tending bar, having no idea what I was doing, but the people who would come in were regulars, truck drivers, things like that, who had worked all night, and they'd be in the morning. So that would be their after-work nighttime, you know, where, because they had just gotten off of work or so forth. And so when I was thought about that, and I thought, oh, my God, that's perfect, because I actually started my first job tending bar, among other things. I sort of did everything at the inn, but tending bar was one of them, and continued at off and on times in my life, where I do a charity event once a year and tend bar. And I find the most interesting thing about that part, however, is that I come from a family, a long line of alcoholics. And so I've always been very opposed to any kind of substance abuse. And here I am serving alcohol, you know, just once a year. But what I do in the serving of the alcohol, this is a volunteer gig, I counsel people over the window. And I actually got a gentleman who belongs to this particular club to quit drinking after many years of drinking and having an alcohol problem. I got him to quit drinking, and he clean, not drinking. So how cool is that? So as a bartender, that's my mission. It's not to serve people alcohol so they get drunk and have, you know, or feel like they're having a good time with the alcohol. It's really to meet people where they are. And if I can help them in any way, I do that. And sometimes that means, you know, reaching out to them and seeing if there's any way I can support or assist them in creating a new life by, you know, letting go of the addiction problem. And that was hard for him because his family are all big drinkers. And that's a really big thing. Which is often the case when you are trying to let go of things in your life, like, say, an addiction or even a relationship. The hardest part about it is not so much letting go of the addiction or the relationship, but what community you're going to lose, who you're going to go against by doing that. And when I say who you're going to go against, we make these vows as children growing up, and we don't even realize we're creating these vows. And a vow is to vow always to be like or to be against something. So you're always for or you're for against something. And that cuts off half of your energy because this life is not black and white. It's really area. And so the hard thing when you're breaking a vow, like one where you are stepping out of an addiction, is that you are now going against your tribe, your family, or the people that you hang around with, who you participate with this addiction. And it takes a lot of energy. It's not just courage to be able to step out of the box that you are in. It takes a lot of energy. And most people don't have that kind of energy in society because we are, you know, we know the dollar in the United States is worth less than ever, and the dollar doesn't go nearly as far as it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so people have to work longer hours. You know, you almost always have to have a dual income in the household to just be able to sort of support the basics. And that's the majority in the U.S. You know, there are some people out there who live in a way that, you know, they have more than they need, and that's wonderful. And it'd be great if more of us, if more people out there had that in their lives. So when you are trying to break a pattern or a vow, it takes a lot of energy and a big commitment. And in order to have the energy for that, you have to figure out how to get energy back that you've given away. One really good way to do that is through meditating and also biogenic exercises. So if you are not familiar with bioenergetics, I encourage you to go on YouTube or Google bioenergetic exercises and really take a look at those. Because bioenergetics are different than the exercises you do at the gym, whether it's your home gym or you go to an actual gym. They help to rewire your brain. They create new neurotransmitters in the brain, which when you're trying to create a new pattern and break an old habit or pattern, it's going to take new brain wiring to do that, really, because otherwise you just keep going the same patterns because you get a thought, you have an emotion or a feeling, and it's going to travel on that same electrical current in your brain that it's traveled on for the last 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You get the point. So you have to create new pathways in order for the brain to sort of be recircuited. So it's like if you have to have electronic work done at your house and say you have the old fuses in your house. And some of you may be too young to remember that or really kind of know what I'm talking about. But in houses today, there are the electrical panel there are circuit breakers. So these little black switches that you flip on, and each switch is connected to a different part of the house, different light switches and different sockets that you plug your electronic things into. And so you have a number of these circuits, which you can, you generally have them all on all of the time. The power goes out or you have a power surge, a circuit breaker will flip off, and then you just flip the switch and turn it back on. The old method of getting electricity from the pole to your house was using fuses, and they used fuses in cars as well. So if you have an old car before the 80s, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Or maybe your parents had a car where you saw them have to change a fuse at some point. So the fuse boxes, the fuses would blow out and you would have to take the fuse out and put the new fuse in. That system is outdated and it's not efficient or effective anymore to run the load of electronics that we typically have in our household, country that is an industrialized country. So if somebody came up with this idea of the circuit breakers and developed it, so now houses have these circuit breakers in them. So when you're looking at the brain, you can think about it that way, where you may have fuses in your brain that runs the old wiring system, and it's not efficient or effective anymore, and you need to upgrade. Or, you know, for you new younger people out there or techies, you have a computer and then, you know, you cannot update your software anymore because maybe Microsoft has discontinued that particular operating system and then, you know, there are no more updates. So So then you have to get a new computer or buy a new operating. Generally, isn't that optimal because the computer is out of date and it may not have enough speed to run the new program. So it's the same with the brain and reformatting the brain in a sense. You've got to go and get new hardware or new software, sorry, and install it into the computer. Or get, well, in the case of the brain, you can't get a whole new brain, but you can upgrade it. And so there are a lot of different techniques that you can utilize in order to do that. Bioenergetic exercises is one of them. Meditation is another, which is a fabulous and effective way to change thought patterns. So if you are you thinking, sitting there thinking, I just had a client yesterday who said, you know, I have a really hard time meditating, and I've been doing Oprah and Deepak Chopra's guided meditations when they have their 21-day, and I've even bought a couple of their packages. But, you know, that sort of got a little bit boring, and so she's been trying to meditate doing silent meditation, and this is the most heard issue that I hear from people about how meditation is so difficult because their mind just doesn't shut up. And so they're trying to meditate and they're arguing with their mind because it's still thinking. So David G, who is on Hay House Radio, says the key to meditation is the silence between the thought and what happens in the other 23 hours of your day, not what happens when you meditate. Now, deep in that, where he says, it's like somebody tells you not to think about monkeys, and then all you can think about is monkeys, because that's the way the brain works. Right? You tell it not to do something, and it's just going to go to town doing that one thing. So you tell the brain, okay, I'm meditating now. Don't think. What do you think is going to happen? The brain's going to throw everything at you it can. And, you know, this is really the ego part of the brain. It's not coming out of the subconscious mind. It's coming out of the 90% of the brain that is running the show 90% of the time, and that's the ego mind. It's playing in your head over and over again. That's having the same thought that it had yesterday and the day before that, even though it might be worded different or look a little bit different, it's basically the same. So to change a pattern through meditation, you've got to access the subconscious mind. And you do that with consistent practice. Because all change takes commitment, and it takes routine, and it takes doing something over and over again. That being said, you don't have to sit on a cushion for an hour to meditate. I've had the best meditations at red light. Honestly. And, you know, people say, well, what about when the light turns green? Trust me, if you are off somewhere else in the planet or the galaxy, the people behind you will let you know rather quickly when that light turns green. So do not let that be one of your excuses not to meditate. You'll know when that light turns green. Trust me. And if there's nobody behind you and you sit through a change of light, what have you lost? Nothing. Maybe a minute or two. So that being said, what can you do to change things up? And looking at my notes for the show here today to see what I talked about covering. Oh, just tools and techniques. Cool. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. How funny is that? You know, sometimes I'll put a subject in the show that I'm covering today, and then I get off on a tangent and go in some other direction, and then I realize, oh, wait, that's my topic is something else. So I can always come back to what I've been talking about and tie it into my topic, which I find really sort of humorous. And I've been watching that particularly a lot during this 30-day challenge. Because as you can imagine, this is my 11th day straight on the radio, I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about tomorrow? Or what am I going to talk about today as the days go on and on? Because how much do I have to say? How much do I have to share? And so then that's when I have this little goblin who comes in and says, yeah, how much do you have to share? What can you possibly offer people for 30 straight days? And then I have this moment of sort of insecurity, we'll say. And I had one of those moments yesterday. I said, 10 days down, 20 days to go. What am I going to talk about, you know, tomorrow? I wasn't even thinking 20 days out. And actually, when I put that out into words, 10 days down, 20 days to go, it doesn't seem as bad for some reason. When I talk, say, 11 days into the 30-day challenge, that seems a little more rough. It seems a little like that for some reason mentally. It just seems like that there's, you know, more to do there than if I look at it, 10 days down, only 20 days to go. So that's what I'm going to say now. This is day 11, so 11 days down, only 19 days to go. How cool is that? And my guys, Spirit, will definitely give me enough content for you all so that you get something out of the show and that it helps you in your daily life somehow. So that being said, we only have 19 minutes left and 19 days of the show. How about that? And now, please don't misunderstand me, because Mercury is in retrograde and communication misunderstandings can be a challenge. I am going to stay on the air after the 30-day challenge is over. However, I am going to go back to once a week. Because, you know, honestly, I have other challenges that I have on my list of things to do, and preparing for the show and then doing an hour broadcast takes several hours a day. So I will stay with you guys, but it will be once a week instead of every single day once the 30-day challenge is complete. Because I'm also working on a second challenge, and that's a 40-day meditation challenge, which I haven't been quite as good at as the 30-day challenge, because the meditation that I'm doing is sort of a lengthy meditation. So I have done it maybe 4 or 5 times in the last week and a half, which is, I'm not really that proud of that. You know, I'd like to increase that and get really more consistent with that meditation. I do other meditations, but this particular one really takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of mental focus to do this meditation. So it's not like where I can just do it, you know, I do a guided meditation, and, you know, you're walking along the beach, and if you're doing a Colette Baron-Reed's chakra meditations, which I love, you know, so you're walking along the beach, and you see red rubies all along the beach, and you pick one up. So like that, kind of an easy meditation. Effective, you know, but it's easy. So the particular one that I'm doing is a little more intense than that. So, if you want to find out more about that or want to join me on that journey, send me a message on Facebook and let me know. And speaking of Facebook, if you have not liked my public page, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, I would love for you to do that. And also my line of all-natural bath and body products, Alchemy of the Earth, you could like that page as well. And I'd be really grateful if you did that. And if you would like to sign up for my newsletter, you can do that through my website, CynthiaFontaine.com, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A-F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E. And all the links for social media are on there. The social media is media that I participate in at the moment because, honestly, there are so many I can't possibly keep up. So I really need to look at some kind of automated social media service where I give them a whole bunch of things and then they post things for me on certain dates or times. So I really need to take a look at that. I do have my Twitter automated, so anything I post on Facebook gets automated to Twitter, which is really helpful. But I could need to figure out if I can do that for Instagram and Pinterest as well. Okay, so that's just a social media rant there. Oh, my gosh, I love you guys. You know, and I've had over 15,000 listeners to date, and that just makes me smile, And I hope that you are smiling for some reason, some little tidbit that I have shared that has helped you or something, some little tidbit I've shared that you've been able to pass on and help somebody else. I hope that hearing me on the show or interacting with me on Facebook brings a smile to your face. So let's see where we're at. So we talked about meditation, bioenergetics. Oh, you know, I was watching a clip last night getting prepared for today's show, and this was Steve Harvey at, I don't know if it was before his show, Family Feud, or it was after the show, but this was something that they had taped. You know, before or after the show. And he's, even though he had that blunder for Miss Universe, he's human and he owned it. So if you do something that you makes you look like an idiot or something that you regret, own it. Apologize for it. People can accept that. You play off like, oh, it wasn't my mistake, and it really was, then people energetically feel that, and they can feel the dishonesty, even if you're not speaking it with your voice. So really think about that, because we have been talking about throughout this 11 days off and on about being authentic. And being authentic also means being true with your words. So keep that in mind. It doesn't give you the free pass to just go spewing on people. That is not what that means. It's not meant to, you know, be where let's see, there's a new AZ thing that people say, well, speak your truth, and say, well, you go to someone and you say, well, I have to speak my truth. And what you're really doing is criticizing them or putting them down in some way, and not owning your own shit. Yeah, I said it. Okay, so own your own stuff, people. Really, that's the bottom line. So this little 5-minute inspirational talk that Steve Harvey did for his audience, I really found to be touching. So I want to share that with you. And he basically called it your gift, and you've got to jump. So he talks about how we all have gifts that we're born with, and sometimes we don't always recognize that gift. But if you ask people who you're close with, what do I bring to this relationship? Or what do you feel like I bring out to the world? What do you think my gifts are? People can see us and see what our gifts truly are, even when we can't. So if you are not sure what your gifts are, go to someone who you trust, who you feel comfortable with, and ask them, what do you think my gifts are that I bring to this relationship or that I bring to the world? And pay attention and ask several people, because most likely you will begin to see a thread between what they're all saying. There will be some commonality to the world. So Steve Harvey's message is that sometimes you got to jump. got to jump into your gift. And it's not always easy. And especially the first time you jump. So now imagine that you're in an airplane and you have a parachute and you're just jumping into your gifts for the first time. And I'll use myself for an example. Many, many, many years ago, when I really came out of the closet as a psychic, I did not want to work with people directly. So Spirit had to figure out how to get me to use my gift for the greater good, because I was not thought working with people. There was no way. So they gave me the gift of animal communication and being able to communicate with animals. And it was quite funny how it happened, and I've talked about this before on the show, so I don't really want to get into detail of it because we only have 10 minutes left. Oh my goodness. So I was afraid to embrace my gift, and I had been afraid for a long time to embrace my gift. I'd known for many, many years that I was a medium and that I had the gift of psychic ability as well. And I have all the clairs, all five of the clairs, clairaudient, clairsentient, I have them all, which, you know, makes it interesting because I can access information in a multiple of different ways when I'm helping people. So I channeled my first message at 19, but I knew much before that, that I had these gifts because I was marked. In my culture, you have a mark on the roof of your mouth that they look for at birth to see if you have the gift of psychic intuitive abilities or mediumship. And my older brother and I both have the mark. So he does not use his gift. And so, because we only have 9 minutes left, oh my God. So I have the mark. So to make a long story short, I started with animal communication, which was safe for a little while, until I had a kid at the barn where my daughter Rose, whose horse was basically dying. She was starving to death. Although the vet and nobody at the barn could figure out why she was losing weight and didn't realize it was because she was starving to death. Because they were feeding this horse regularly and giving her plenty of food, but she kept losing weight. And the vet could not find a medical reason for this happening. And so the poor kid was desperate because her horse was going to die and asked me if I could talk to her horse. So I did. And as it turned out, the Shetland pony who lived in the other stall next to the horse had found a way to be able to get its nose through enough from one stall to the other to eat all the horse's food. And so the horse, whose name was Dream, wasn't getting her food because the Shetland pony next door was eating it all, who had a belly on that pony like there was no tomorrow. It was the funniest little thing. So anyway, I went in and said, you have to move her food to the other side of the stall, her grain bucket and her hay, because the Shetland pony is eating all her food. So they move the food, the horse starts gaining weight, gets healthy, and, you know, all is great. The kid's happy, the horse is healthy, the mother's thrilled. Well, the father had a little bit of a different perspective of this. So, and I have talked about this, so I'm going to make it quick. Anyway, so the father, one night at a party for one of the kids, in front of dozens and dozens of people, outs me and says that, you know, what I do is not real. What I do is BS. It's, you name it, he says it, right? So that was my initiation into jumping. And this is why I'm sharing this story with you. Because the first time you jump, your parachute may not open, and you might hit the ground, and you might break bones, you might cut your face. You're going to be scratched, bumped, and bruised, okay? Like I was scratched, bumped, and bruised from that instant, even though it was genuine from my heart, and I really helped this girl, this pony, and this family. It was twisted and taken to be make it something negative from this child's father. So I went back underground. I said, well, if my parachute is not going to open when I jump, I am not jumping again. However, thankfully for you and me, Spirit had other plans, give me other opportunities to get out and jump again. So now I jump all the time. I jump into my gift every day. And my life is finally one that I love. Because though I was delivered messages for 26 years in a different way, it wasn't my true calling. And because of that, I kept having injuries and being out of work until finally Spirit said, enough is enough. You got to get out. And so they I had physical issues to the point where I could no longer physically do the job, and I had to get out. But I'm stubborn, and I wasn't going to quit. So Spirit knew that they were going to have to push me out. So that really, what messages is Spirit giving you? What direction are you being pushed in? What do you have that you're keeping to yourself and not offering out into the world? And when I say offering them out into the world, it can be just within your family. It doesn't have to be out in public like I am. It can be just offering the gift to the people who are closest to you and who you love. So if you are an EIS and you have the softest heart and you just want to love people, but you hold back because you're afraid of being hurt or your love being rejected, then you are withholding your gift. And yeah, sometimes that parachute is not going to open, and it's going to hurt like hell when you hit the ground. Really. But can you and do you have the stamina to get up and get in that plane and jump again? So use the plane as your life. The plane is your life and your gift. Are you ready and can you make a commitment to start to recognize your gift and jump out of that plane knowing that your parachute may not open? That's really, really big. You know, because you can choose to play it safe your whole life. You can stand on the edge of the cliff of your life looking, or you can stand on the edge of that door in that plane looking, holding on for dear life, not going to jump out of that plane because what if the parachute doesn't open? Choosing that, however, you will never live a full life. You will never be able to be completely, truly happy because you are withholding your gift from the universe and from others. The gifts that you came with, that you are meant to share with others. You are meant to be here on this time, on this earth, for a particular reason and purpose. So I encourage you to figure out what that is. Get your parachute on, get into that plane, and make the jump. I love you all so very much. I will see you tomorrow, day 12 of my 30-day challenge, Busting Out and Busting Into Your Life. This is Cynthia Fontaine, transforming your life. Fabulous, fabulous day. The world.
gonna live in sunshine, gonna watch my blues away. Had sweet love, but I lost it. She got too close, so far, and now I'm lost in the world, trying to find me a better way. Wishing I was deep in the water somewhere, got the blue sky breeze, and it don't seem fair. I'm worried the world is not gonna reach my chair. Paradise.